So much for completism, Case thinks. The footage is a work in progress. This is Nora, Stella says, stepping softly past Case to lay her hands on the shawl-draped shoulders of the figure in the chair before the screen. Nora's right hand pauses, still resting on the mouse, though Case senses this has nothing to do with her sister's touch or the presence of a stranger. Case still cannot see her face. Her hair, like her sister's, is long and dark, center parted, its gloss reflecting the glow of the screen. Now Stella speaks to her sister in Russian, and slowly Nora turns from the screen, the manipulated image illuminating her face in three-quarter profile. It is Stella's face, but some fault bisects it vertically, not quite evenly. There are no scars, only this skewing of the bone beneath. Nora's skin is smooth as Stella's, and as white. Case looks into the dark eyes. Nora sees her, then doesn't, turns back to the screen. Stella rolls a workstation chair into position.
Sit, watch her work.
Case shakes her head, her eyes stinging with tears.
Sit, says Stella very gently. You will not disturb her. You have come a long way. You must watch her work.
Her watch tells her that over 3 hours have passed when she leaves Nora's room. She wonders if she will ever be able to describe her experience there to anyone, even Parkaboy. How she has watched a segment, or the bones of one, being built up from almost nothing. Mere scraps of found video. How once a man had stood on a platform in a station and turned and raised his hand, the motion captured, the grainy image somehow finding its way, however much later, to one of Nora's subsidiary screens. To be chosen today by the roving, darting cursor, elements of that man's gesture becoming aspects of the boy in the dark coat, his collar up. The boy whose life, it seems, is bounded by the T-shaped city, the city Nora is mapping through the footage she generates. Her consciousness, Case understands, somehow bounded by or bound to the T-shaped fragment in her brain, part of the arming mechanism of the Claymore mine that killed her parents, balanced too deeply, too precariously within her skull to ever be removed. Something stamped out once in its thousands by an automated press in some armory in America. Perhaps the workers who'd made that part, if they'd thought at all in terms of end use, had imagined it being used to kill Russians. But that was over now. Wynne's War and Baranov's, old as the brick compound behind Baranov's caravan, concrete fence posts, and the echoing absence of dogs. And somehow this one specific piece of ordnance, adrift perhaps since the days of the Soviets' failed war with the new enemies, had found its way into the hands of Nora's uncle's enemies, and this one small part, only slightly damaged by the explosion of the ruthlessly simple device, had been flung into the very center of Nora's brain. And from it, and from her other wounds, there now emerged, accompanied by the patient and regular clicking of her mouse, the footage.